Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 290, the stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. Praise ye the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks and bless his name. His loving kindness changes not from age to age the same. And what follows? Psalter 290, the stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Acts 2, the verses 22 through 40. But first, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Acts 2, the verses 22 through 40. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you, by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, and neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, and neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes at thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, the day is already far spent, and by renewal we attempt to approach unto thee with our unclean lips. And then it was the petition of those travelers traveling to Emmaus that thou would abide with them. They have constrained thee, and thou hast dwelt with them. Then on this special and notable day, when we may remember and commemorate the wonderful, the loving, and the powerful works of the Holy Spirit, and then on that notable day, and then so many were wrought upon, 3,000. They were brought from under the banner of the Prince of Darkness, and they were placed by free grace under the banner of Jesus Christ. Then 3,000 people that were blind, they were given to see. 3,000 enemies were made friends. And now, Lord, thou knowest most perfectly how it is in each of our hearts, how it has been hitherto on this special day, whether there has been a sinner, whether there have been more boys and girls, young people, middle-aged or elderly ones, that have been wrought upon by thy Spirit, and where everything has become so different, that in this day they were given to marvel. And now, Lord, we humbly ask thee in this evening hour that thou may work wonderfully in the midst of the congregation, by those that have come up to thy house, and the greatest part that is called to be in their dwellings when they may listen along. May there yet be troubled souls, troubled families amongst us, when it has all been so still, even no marveling, when our hearts are so cold and untouched. May to that end also in this evening hour, many prayers have ascended, that there may be souls that have cried mightily unto thee, that in this evening hour may be thy time to favor thy Zion, and that the cry would be heard, as it was heard on the day of Pentecost. Men and brethren, what must we do? They were convicted souls that did not know how they should be saved. It was a question out of the bottom of their heart, O Lord. And then we humbly beg of Thee in the latter days of the earth, even in this very hour, that Thou may manifest Thy power and Thy grace in the hearts of young and old, that sinners may be stopped, that they may be turned unto Thee, that they may become seeking souls. Thou art that sovereign potter. Thou art so free. Thou art so righteous when Thou passest us by. But, O Lord, Thou knowest that if Thou doth not quicken us, then we are forever lost. And what shall it be to be lost for a never-ending eternity? To also have heard the precious message of Pentecost, when so many were converted, when sons and daughters were given to prophesy, young men see visions, old men see dreams, and then to have to go lost, O Lord. And then Thou wast taught Thy church to pray, Thy kingdom come, and may it then come in this very evening hour, and that it may be heard, and that sons and daughters may be born in Zion. But wilt Thou also remember Thy people? And then it was an extraordinary, was a special day for Thy children, for the apostles, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit to further leadings. Wilt Thou grant the same unto Thy people? And then it is the work of the Holy Spirit to make room each time by renewal for a new benefit, and also to grant that benefit in Thy way at Thy time. Bless the manifold means of grace amongst us. Remember the family circles. Help the parents with the children, with their schoolwork. Remember the school, the administration, the instructors, all those that may labor therein. May it please Thee to grant strength and courage for the remaining 2 weeks. Wilt Thou also spare staff and students as Thou hast done hitherto? Then we remember Thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth, the established churches. Remember our theological school. Originally it had been planned that the curatorium would have met in this week, but it has all been postponed. Wilt Thou remember the instructors and the students? May it please Thee to grant more servants for Thy vineyard and more teachers for our school. Uphold the persecuted church. Enlighten the Jewish nation. Remember all mission work. Also our mission field, Thy servants and the team. Also for them the labors, they are different. But may it please Thee in wonderful ways, also on the mission field, that Thy word may be brought to those who otherwise perhaps would have not received it, and may it please Thee to add Thy blessing. We remember the nations of the earth. Remember our nation. Remember our province. Thou art speaking in a special way. And may it be heard. May it be taken to heart. Where there is so little repentance, and many things over the past months, they have come to a halt. But the unborn continue to be murdered. Woe unto us that we have sinned. We remember our leaders also of this province. Wilt thou grant wisdom, discretion? May they be given to bow their knees, and may the time soon arrive that the congregation can gather together in thy house as it was in former days. May we be given to count all our blessings. We may thank thee that hitherto thou hast placed a wall round about us. Then we commend unto thee the sick and the afflicted, the old father in the hospital. May it please thee to grant strengthening and healing. Above all, grant a Sabbath day blessing. Remember him together with his dear wife. May they be found often on their knees begging, and not only help for their bodies, but above all for the saving of their souls. Remember all under the physician's care, the elderly ones that are weak. Remember all our elderly ones in our care home. Remember all those that may care for them, those that are bound to their dwellings and their lonely station. We remember all the mourning ones amongst us, the crosses and the burdens. May it please thee to continue to provide daily bread for the family circles, then in the realm of nature, then everything may flourish, then it looks so beautiful. Ah, Lord, remember also the acre of thy church. May it please thee to grant that it may flourish, that the desert may begin to bloom by the work of thy Holy Spirit, as it is written in thy holy word. And now in this evening hour, then we humbly beg of thee by renewal, that thou may be our mouth and our wisdom. May we with joy and liberty be given to declare the wonderful things of the Lord as a dying man to a dying people. May we all be given to feel the urgency. We are hastening to eternity, but one step between us and death, there shall also be a last Sabbath day for us and our children, a last time that we come up to thy house. Impress it upon all our hearts that it could even be in this evening on this Sabbath day. And then we need to be prepared. And then thou granteth this precious time of grace between the cradle and the grave, that we may be given to seek and to find thee. Ah, Lord, then we humbly ask thee, may thy word go forth with power divine, when in this evening hour, when the gospel net may be let down into the midst of the congregation by renewal. Oh, there is not one that wants to be caught, but oh, when it is thy time, and then they shall be caught, and then they shall experience the blessed and sweet things of the service of the Lord. And may young and old be aroused to a holy jealousy, the time is short. Wilt thou then go from bench to bench, and from dwelling to dwelling, go from heart to heart, take away everything that could be a hindrance. Wilt thou remember all the little children, those that may be in thy house, those that are in their dwellings, when for them it is even more difficult, but, O Lord, when thou usest one word, then they shall hear and listen as if they never heard before. Wilt thou then do wonders? Thy name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, and the Everlasting Father. And may there yet be a great ingathering in the latter days of the earth. And may the outgoing of this service be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 442, the stanzas 2, 3, 4, and 5. Oh, what glorious things, O city of Jehovah, are spoken in melodious tones of thee. Lo, Rahab, even Babel I will see, amid hallowed chorus singing, Hallelujah. And what follows, 442, the stanzas 2 through 5. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Acts 2, the verses 36, 37, and 38, where God's word and our text reads thus, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." And now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Our text words speak of the Holy Spirit's mighty ingathering on the day of Pentecost, with three thoughts. In the first place, the Holy Spirit's clear exposition. In the second place, the Holy Spirit's deep conviction. And in the third place, the Holy Spirit's rich consolation. The Holy Spirit's mighty ingathering on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit's clear exposition. The Holy Spirit's deep conviction, and the Holy Spirit's rich consolation. Beloved congregation, we have heard in this morning hour of the wonderful things that have taken place on that notable and glorious day of Pentecost. The sound is of a rushing wind, the cloven tongues of fire, and that the church was filled with the Holy Spirit. And when it was noised abroad of what has taken place, then indeed it did make some impression upon the hearers. They were given to realize and see that something very extraordinary and something very special has taken place. Then they were given to marvel. It is still a privilege when we are not given over to the hardness of the heart, and when we come up to God's house, that there may be times that we are touched, and maybe not sit so easy in your bench, an impression, boys and girls, that we need a new heart, and that it is so terrible to be unconverted. Maybe there are even those that have made a promise in your bench for the week to come. But if we marvel, that by itself is not sufficient. We need to be wrought upon. We need to be converted by God unto God. The Lord must become too strong for us. We must become new creatures. And now on the glorious day of Pentecost, then the Spirit has wrought wonderfully. Then 3,000 have received new hearts were converted. 3,000 were taken from under the banner of the devil and placed under the banner of King Jesus. Then we have sung together, out of Psalter 442, that people shall come from all nations. Oh, the Apostle John, in John 7, verse 9, then he has seen a great multitude, small and great, from all countries, from all nations. And then when we have sung it together, then have you thought of your own heart congregation? Am I now included among that people? Because the Lord, by His Spirit, He has a prepared people here below for a prepared place. And to that end, then we must listen in this evening hour very closely, whether we have experienced when we are unconverted, we have not, and the Lord has a people upon the earth. Oh, I hope that there are still many souls, those souls amongst us, that there are many questions. Oh, that you were given to marvel at yourself such a riddle, and that you wonder whether there is another soul upon the earth as I am, and where the strife can be great with that two men. There can be so many perplexities. And now we read in this chapter that Peter and the other 11 apostles, oh, I read in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Oh, if we had been present on that glorious day, and we would have heard Peter preach, and we would have known Peter very well, then we would have said, is that now the same Peter that was in the hall of Caiaphas, and that in front of a girl has denied that he knew the Lord Jesus Christ? But now by the powerful anointing of the Holy Spirit, then Peter and the other 11, then they were not given to fear the frowns of the multitude, and they were not given to covet their smiles, but they were given to declare, as the Spirit gave them utterance, the Word of God. And then with the questions that there were among that people, because in verse 12, then the multitude has said, what meaneth this? Then Peter and the others, they had a beautiful opportunity to declare the wonderful works of the Lord. Oh, there were some that said they must be full of new wine. But then Peter was given to open the Scriptures and point back to the prophet Joel in chapter 2, where that prophet is prophesied of a glorious day for the church, and that it would be a time when sons and daughters, boys and girls, young people, when they would be given to prophesy, that means they would be given to tell of the wonderful things of the Lord, of what they have experienced in their heart. The young men would see visions. When we think of the visions in the Scripture, young men that were called to serve in the church, old men that would dream dreams, and upon servants and those handmaidens, the Lord still has a remnant in our midst, and many times they have to tell that they are not like as other handmaidens, as I read of a Ruth in Ruth 2. And now in our exposition, We have called the first point not Peter's exposition. It is true he was a tool, an instrument, but it was the work of the Holy Spirit. And then we read in our text, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly, that is the application of the sermon which Peter has preached. The other apostles have also preached. And then we read in verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, that was the name that was placed upon his cross, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Oh, what a cutting word that was for that Jewish people, because many of them, they dwelt in Jerusalem, and they have cried out, crucify him, crucify him, his blood be upon us and our children. And then the bitter enmity, oh, for the Jewish people, it is still the same today with Orthodox Jews. When that name of Jesus of Nazareth is mentioned, oh, what a bitter enmity. Then husbands has put away their wives their husbands, fathers and mothers have disowned their children when the name of Jesus of Nazareth is mentioned. So bitter the enmity, and that is how Peter, oh, then maybe you think, but Peter, you must not give offense. No, Peter was anointed with the Holy Spirit, and he determined not to know anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh, Jesus has ascended at the right, sitteth at the right hand of the Father, and there he watches over his church. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you, by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Then Peter, then he is bringing that Jewish people that dwelt in Judea and in Jerusalem. Then he was given to bring that people to their past. And that is now necessary also for us, that we are brought back, was blessed by the Holy Spirit. Then that Jewish people, men of Judea, dwellers of Jerusalem, we read in this chapter, then that people were brought back, what they have witnessed, what they have seen, and what they have experienced. Men of Judea, ye men of Jerusalem, I read in Luke 2 verse 47 that the apostles were given instruction to preach the word beginning at Jerusalem. Has that ever become a wonder unto us? Beginning at Jerusalem. That for such a wicked city, that the gospel of Jesus Christ was still proclaimed, because that city of Jerusalem, that was an unbelieving city, was a city full of enmity, was a city of blood, was an undeserving city, And now Jesus has given instruction to preach the word, beginning at Jerusalem, young and old. Have we ever learned to be such a Jerusalem, as such a wicked one, as such an unbelieving one, also sin against the gospel? And now Peter said, ye men of Israel, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, a sent by the Father into this world to be the Savior for sinners, who has done miracles, wonders, and signs among you. And then in his preaching, then Peter, he is so personal, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Then that people of Jerusalem, then they were led back what they have experienced. Many of them have seen or heard the miracles that Jesus Christ has done. There were those that Peter has preached to, where they have stood by the cross, experienced the 3-hour darkness, felt an earthquake on Good Friday, and on the morning of the resurrection, has done wonders amongst you, as ye yourselves also know. May it please the Spirit in this evening hour to convict and to lead back, because congregation, when the Lord works by His Spirit, then He brings our life back, what we have done, given to remember sermons, serious sermons, where maybe there were impressions, but we have laid it aside, perhaps things that have transpired in our life, that there was but a step between us and death, and that the Lord has so wonderfully watched over us, but we have continued on that broad way. Oh, what it was for the hearers to have heard of those wonders, what has taken place, and notwithstanding, then Peter would say that they have crucified the Lord of glory, young and old. Have we ever been stopped? Have we ever been convicted? Has the Lord led us back for our actual sins? Shall not speak of our original sins in this evening, necessary to be further uncovered. And then Peter has said, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Ah, for that Jewish people was such a puzzle, such a riddle, such a question, one that has done such wonders, such miracles, and then he was hung on the cross. They have even said he saved others. Himself he could not say. If Christ was now truly the Messiah, why was he then crucified? Oh, Peter, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, not to give that people a resting place, that they could find an excuse for what they have done. No, 'tis the work of the Holy Spirit to take all our excuses away. What a great work that the Spirit has to do to save a sinner. And to that end, he has immediately added, ye, thus you and ye, we find each time by renewal. Oh, what a privilege and what a blessing it would be if in this evening hour we would become that you and ye, that we have learned that we have sinned against such a holy, such a righteous, and such a good-doing God. Then Peter is given to tell them, the multitude, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Congregation, humanly speaking, if there ever had been a people that was deserving of hell, then it was that people at Jerusalem. 'Tis so necessary that we become that Jerusalem. The forefathers, they have waited for this day. Do we not read in the scriptures that Abram has waited to see this day? But the forefathers have went away of all flesh. What a prayers were sent up to heaven, that the fullness of time may soon arrive, that Messiah may come. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down. And now, that people, the hearers, the congregation of Peter, they are given to hear it, that they by wicked hands, they have slain the Savior of the world, who has come to save sinners. What a guilt, what a guilty people. And now for that guilty people, and young and old, we must learn that we are that Jerusalem, that it are our sins, not in as the Jewish people, they have done it in a natural way, that they have cried out, that they have seen that Christ was crucified, but now to learn that it is my sins that have nailed that Savior to the cross. My wicked hands, whom ye have slain and whom ye have crucified. There was a city that was deserving of fire and brimstone. Then it was the city of Jerusalem. And yet, Christ, oh, what a love. Then he has commanded his apostles to bring that message to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. For a people, even outwardly, oh, for fathers and mothers, those words, his blood, be upon us and our children. But now further, then Peter is given to declare him being delivered. No, in verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death. And then in the verses 25 through 35, then Peter, then he is given to expound the scriptures concerning Old Testament prophecies Psalm 16, Psalm 132, Psalm 110. Then Peter is given to explain to that people in those prophecies of David that it cannot all refer to David, because David, he was buried, his grave was with him till that very day. And then Peter is given to explain that Savior whom they have crucified, that he has risen from the dead. And then in the application, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly what have been righteous. The Lord has given Peter another message, that Peter said for Jerusalem, it is too late. You have sinned too greatly. Your hands are stained with blood. What have been so righteous? That is what God's people learn, that the Lord is just and that the Lord is righteous. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified by renewal both Lord and Christ, that he is living. He is the living King. He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. What a message for the men of Judea and for the dwellers of Jerusalem. What a heavenly high guilt. What a pointed application. And how was it now? How did it now go with that people? How is it with us, congregation? How often we have heard of our deep fallen Adam, our lost state, our many and great sins, our heavenly high debt, that we cannot appear before the Lord. Has that become reality in our life? Oh, are there a few souls that have to say in this evening that Jerusalem is now me? I have sinned so oftentimes. I have sinned so greatly. But now, then we read of that multitude that they did not place it to the side. Our second thought, the Holy Spirit's a deep conviction. And then we do not read that people have become angry, that they have taken up stones, as we read of Stephen in Acts 7, verse 54, when they heard that this, they were cut to their heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Then we do not read of that multitude that they have become angry, because what has taken place, and then we read, and now when they heard this, Romans 10, verse 17, of faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And now when they heard this, oh, they heard it with ears that were opened by the work of the Holy Spirit, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Then they have heard that they were very guilty a few weeks ago. We have spoken out of Revelation 6 of him on the white horse of victory, and that he had a bow and arrows, and that he went forth to conquer. Then the Lord has used the preaching of Peter and the other apostles by the application of the Holy Spirit, that word has not only entered their ears, but that it has entered their heart. Then it has pleased the king to shoot 3,000 arrows into the hearts of the king's enemies. We read in Psalm 45, verse 5, thine arrows are sharp in the hearts of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. In Hebrews 4, verse 12, thy word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And now that people, when they have been pricked in their heart, then they have heard that solemn truth. It is hit home. They were given to consent, to agree that it was all the truth. Woe unto them that they have sinned to such an extent. And then we see congregation, what a terrible thing that sin is. And now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Oh, then concerning their sin, when they have nailed the Messiah on the cross, that they could never undo. Then their sin, it was recorded in the heavens, in God's book. Their sin, they must give an account, because the Lord is so just and so righteous that he cannot overlook one of our sins. Oh, young and old, what a terrible thing that sin is. For that Jewish people, it was impossible to undo what they have done. Of course, it was in the counsel of God, but their heavenly high guilt. And then when they were pricked in their heart, they have come in a great need. They were placed in their guilt. Oh, was that taken place in our life? Have we learned the 12th question of our Heidelberg Catechism? Since we by the righteous judgment of God deserve temporal and eternal punishments, is there not a way that we may escape punishment and be restored into favor? God will have his justice satisfied, and that satisfaction must be made by us or by another. And to that end, that people did not despair, no, because when the Holy Spirit works, then he grants faith, hope, and love in the moment of regeneration. And now for a convicted sinner, although they do not know the way, then the Lord shall uphold them, because a sinner also learns, given to learn and to adore all the attributes of the Lord, Oh, ask convicted sinners, they shall tell you that the mercy and the long suffering of the Lord is so great to have tasted of the precious things of the Lord, to experience many tokens of His favor, that they are given to marvel, that the Lord is still so patient and good with such a black sinner as I am. But those tokens, they do not satisfy justice. And now that people that were pricked in their heart, and then they have come to the apostles, and then how were they addressed? And then they said to them, men and brethren. It's also a mark of grace. When the Lord works, when the Lord convicts, when the Lord uncovers, when the Lord draws, because they read in Jeremiah 31 verse 9 that they shall come with weeping and supplication. Not everything is written in the Word of God, but what a tears. Oh, what a blessing it was for the apostles when they have preached and when they have seen that preaching made a great impression. I have read of George Whitefield. He has preached in the time of the great revivals, come seven times over to this side of the ocean. But then in London, then sometime very early in the morning, then he went to the mines of Kingsfield. And then very early in the morning, then the miners, they came out of the mines from their night shift, black as coal maybe. And then Whitefield is written in a certain place that he start preaching, and that after a while that you saw many white stripes on their faces where the tears were running freely and where that coal was washed away. Oh, for Peter, apostles on the day of Pentecost, what a tears must have been shed because they have crucified the Messiah, the Savior. He has risen. He ascended into heaven. He is Lord and Christ, and He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. But now faith worketh by love. And when the Lord converts us, then we receive a love to God and everything that is connected with God. And then we also receive such a love. And what else? A jealousy. Because when we are convicted, then we become unconverted. That is clear with the question they have asked. And then they have said, men and brethren, what must we do? What do we hear in that question? That something needs to be done. Something needs to happen. Also with us congregation, something needs to happen to be saved. And not remain unconverted, it shall be terrible. If we have to appear, this multitude, those that were pricked in their heart, they had a solemn impression that with their hands stained with blood, with the Son of God, with all their sins, that they could not appear before their Maker, that something had to be done. Then in that question, then we read of the urgency, that people, Usually the Lord works in a slower way. And then in the beginning, that people does not even dare to ask questions. Then they seek it in secret places. Sometimes they think, if I was a bird and a mouse, then I could go and sit outside of where God's people were gathered. But in the beginning, that people like to listen and to hear how the Lord converts His people. They are given to cry, but it was such a powerful work. It was a short work on the day of Pentecost, and therefore they have asked, what must we do? What else does that betray? That betrays that we are so bound up in that covenant of works that we think we have to work out our own salvation. Although for that convicted multitude, there was much they could not undo. Men and brethren, what must we do, young and old? Has that now become the question of our life? Has that become the most important question? The all-important question. When the Lord works, then on account of that love, then that people, they cannot miss the Lord. And yet, because of their sins, then it is righteous if they would have to miss the Lord forever. Do you hear, congregation, the great need, the desperate need in the hearts of those that have been pricked in their heart? Has that ever taken place in our life? Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, beg the Lord for that precious work of the Holy Spirit, that you may be convicted, that you may become what you are, and then you shall learn that you do not know. Oh, are there a few souls that do not know how to be converted? Seems so hopeless. It seems the sins are rising up. And no God for your heart, no surety for your soul, no surety for your guilt, and no Savior for your soul. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Ah, may it please Almighty God to grant that deep, that real, that Spirit-wrought concern in the hearts of our boys and girls, our young people, the middle-aged, the elderly ones, men and brethren, what shall we do? And now concerning that people, shall the Lord then leave them lie? Oh, no. Then by the unction of the Holy Spirit, ah, then Peter, what a joy, what a gladness, given to rejoice with joy unspeakable, that the word, that it has fallen on well-prepared hearts, wrought by the Holy Spirit, and that there was a soul's concern, a deep concern. How glad Peter was to hear. There is a Christendom that knows exactly how it must go, but people, we can be brought up under the truth. And when the Lord converts us, then we do not know it anymore. Then the question shall be, what shall we do? That is first thing. A Psalter 293. the three stanzas. The rebels who would dare to show proud contempt of God Most High, abound in iron and in woe, the shades of death and darkness nigh, humbled, and what follows, 293, the three stanzas. The Holy Spirit's mighty ingathering on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit's clear exposition. The Holy Spirit's deep conviction. And now thirdly, the Holy Spirit's rich consolation. We have sung together of rebels. Are there such in my midst? Does not mean, I hope, young people, that you do not rebel against your parents, against the church. Of these convicted sinners, we have heard in this morning in the first verses, that they were devout men, but by the preaching of Peter, then all their devoutness, it was all sin. And they have by wicked hands taken and slain the Lord Jesus Christ. And now Peter, upon such a question that has come from the bottom of their heart, men and brethren, what must we do? Then Peter first says, repent. I read in Matthew 3, verse 2, that John the Baptist has begun, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus Christ has begun with the same words in Matthew 4, verse 17. And that word repent, that means a change of mind, followed by a change of actions. And now when Peter is given to say to repent, did not say they could have self, but then he is given to speak in a separating manner, and that they may be given to examine their hearts, whether it is the true work of the Lord. Because I read in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10, a godly sorrow worketh repentance not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Thus then Peter is laying it close to their hearts. There is more necessary than some conviction, some emotions, but the necessity of a change of heart. And when it is true, that is the desire of the reborn church. Oh, ask the child of God where the Spirit has begun, whether that is not their desire. Then there is a hating and fleeing of sin, a desire to please the Lord. And now when Peter is given to begin with repent, then it is also to the further uncovering, because we have said they could never undo what they have done. Thus repent, and that is something, a matter that is so missing in our days. But when the Spirit worketh mightily, lovingly, and irresistibly in the midst of a people, when he sanctifies those signs and wonders, and how the Lord is speaking unto us in a special way upon the whole earth, then he is calling us to repent. I read in Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, that the Lord waits to be gracious. But not only repent, because what does the child of God now learn? Oh, it is a blessed place to be with that tender fear of the Lord, begging and asking the Lord day by day that they may be kept, that the Lord may keep their footsteps, a good place to be. But what does a convicted sinner now learn? Oh, with that word of repent, to bring the multitude in a deeper and greater need, because the church shall learn with all their repentance that they are a black sinner still, and that they offend in many things, and the Lord's justice requires a perfect obedience. And even if the church could repent all the sins of a former life and their original sin. And therefore Peter has immediately added, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ And then maybe there are people that say, but Peter, are you not a little hasty with speaking of baptism? And then Peter is given to test that people. Then Peter says, people, if it is now the true work, if it is now right in your heart, then you are willing to sacrifice. You must count the cost, because to become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified and who was risen, then you shall be persecuted by the world and by your own people. Thus when Peter declares what to be baptized, that is to make a choice to be a follower, to place oneself under the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he was given to explain, and of course, it is written in verse 40, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, oh, then for Peter and the apostles, for rebels, for black sinners, for Jerusalem that has sent everything away, where from their side it has become hopeless, no way to be saved, the justice of God, the sword of God's justice hanging over them. Oh, then it Peter was given to declare that precious Lord Jesus Christ, whom the Father has sent as a gift upon this world, oh, that Christ, that he has taken the sins of all his children upon him, then he was given to declare Christ as the willing servant of the Father. Oh, that he had no sin of self, but that he was willing to take the sin of his people, even Jerusalem, those that have cried out, crucify him, crucify him, that Christ was willing, that he was willing to suffer and to die, that he was hung on the cross, that he has died, that he was buried, that he has risen, and that he sitteth at the right hand of the Father. Oh, then for a Peter, what an opening there was to preach the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. Oh, are there a few souls in the midst of the congregation that are burdened with their sin, that are so guilty, and where it seems that it is becoming more and more hopeless? Oh, maybe there have been times that you had a good hope that the Lord has begun that good work, that there were times that the love has covered your sins, but now in the way of further uncovering, that you know it no more, that with those people of Jerusalem, what must we do? Oh, then we may tell you that it has all been done. It is finished. Christ has cried out, it is finished. He has satisfied justice. He has glorified the attributes of the Father. And in that way to be baptized for the remission of sin, that the debt may be canceled, that the sins may be forgiven. Oh, what a precious gospel, what a precious message. Oh, then for the apostles, then it could not be different, as we read of Paul in 2 Corinthians 5, knowing the terror of the Lord, but also the love of Christ constraineth us. Oh, Peter, he could not place himself above Jerusalem. Peter, who has experienced so much of the instruction and the love of his master, he has denied, he has cursed him 3 times. Oh, then if Peter could say, oh, Jerusalem, maybe you are troubled that you have sinned too much, that you have sinned too greatly, that you have crucified the Lord of glory. But, oh, the preacher, He has denied his master after sitting at his feet so oftentimes. Oh, the preacher, he is the chiefest of sinners, but it is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Oh, then if Peter could say with the psalmist, oh, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O Lord. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then concerning those gifts, then in our Dutch marginal notes, then it speaks of the graces which Christ has merited for his people, but also the special gifts in the time of Pentecost. And then we read, boys and girls, how many were pricked in their heart? 3,000 on one day. And now in Pitcher Butte, another day of Pentecost. Not 12 o'clock yet, but it is far spent. And then the question, how is it with us and our children? For each and every one of us, there's that one thing needful. It's true. Concerns for the time are many, but congregation, we shall all come through this time. And then there is one thing needful. May there have been a few sinners. Oh, we all need the same. May there have been boys and girls, young people, middle-aged, and elderly ones that have been pricked in their heart, that you have been brought back. Little children, seek the Lord early. Then there are not so many years that you shall be brought back. And we do not have to repent of things we have not done. And, young people, the Lord is so worthy to be served. Oh, do you refuse to follow the Lord? Do you choose for the world, and the end shall be so bitter? Samuel Davis, a minister that has preached in America in the time of the revival, not become so old, 37 years he was richly used. And then I have read in one of his sermons that he has said to the people, must your poor minister now go home? Ah, he is poor. Also an exposition. But must your poor minister now go home and to tell a sender that there has not been one boy or girl, one youth, middle-aged and elderly, even a whisper, what that people on Pentecost have said, men and brethren, what must we do? But that they refuse, and that they follow hard after the world. May it please the King of the Church to send a spear to work powerfully, that it may be heard, that sons and daughters, that they have been pricked in their heart, cannot live as formerly, shall be a marveling in such a heart, but also that there may be that marveling in the family circles, husband, wife, sons and daughters, that it has all become different. We are traveling to eternity. We need to be saved. We shall close. Then we read that Peter has spoken many more words. And then he has said to the multitude in verse 40, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, then we may acknowledge thee for thy help. Thou wast granted in other Pentecost, so different than former years, where only a smaller number could gather in thy house. Also in this evening hour, may it be an unforgettable service for them, a service that they can never forget, O Lord. May it please thee to convert us and our children, as thou hast converted all thy people. We may commence another week. Wilt thou bless the labor of our hands? Remember the mothers in the home with the children during the daytime and the night watches. Wilt thou help with the education of the children? Remember all at work, wherever we are called to be. Wilt thou grant health, strength, and courage? Wilt thou grant that dependent life? Wilt thou keep from danger and from harm? Continue to place a fiery wall around about us and our children. Wilt thou keep from sin and temptation? Direct all our thoughts, our words, our deeds. Wilt thou now bring safely to our dwellings? May we be given to meditate, and ah, Lord, may there be amongst us, among young and old, that may come on their knees by the first time, what shall I do? But also for a people where thou hast begun, and where they still have that open standing debt, that guilt, and not a penny to pay. Ah, well, to grant those further leadings, Lord, in the latter days of the earth. Do then a great work amongst us. It is thy glory. It is thy honor, thy kingdom. Wilt thou watch over us in this night? Forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 48, the stanzas 5, 6, and 7. The ends of all the earth shall hear and turn unto the Lord in fear. All kindreds of the earth shall own and worship him as God alone. The consistory has an additional announcement. There will be a consistory meeting on Monday, June 8th at 7 p.m. Visitors welcome after 8:30 p.m. Psalter 48, 5, 6, and 7. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.